AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? It's another episode of the Gangster Chronicles podcast, and I got another special guest with me tonight, another special co-host, my boy AJ from the Connected Experience podcast.
What's going on? What's going on? You know what it is. Angster Michigan in the house all day, every day. What's going on, Big Steel?
Oh, man, you know, same old stuff, man. But we got a really special guest, man. One of the OGs in the game, man, from the original Penthouse Players Click, man. My boy, Player Ham.
What's up with it? You know how we do.
What's up with Ham?
Man, one day at a time, baby. I cannot complain, you know?
What's man, going on, Player Ham?
Man, one day at a time, love. You know how we do it.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, man, for sure, man. I want to go back to the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're from out of Compton, right?
Nah, man, I'm out of South Central, man. A lot of people think that, you know, but the edge of Watts to the west side of L.A., man, South Central is where I was born and raised, you know?
Oh, for sure, for sure. I didn't know that, man. We might be bringing some news. I swear I think everybody thought you was from Compton, man.
Well, they think that, you know, because of affiliations and associations, man, but, you know, it's not true.
Well, the first thing I want to ask you, man, is because you grabbed a hold of what was with who eventually became one of the best producers in hip hop. I still think he is today. How did you link up with Quick, man? How old was he when you guys linked up?
Man, he had to be in his late teens, homie. I want to say maybe 18. I just turned 19. 18 had to be because it was 88. So anyway. We had a little, what they used to call them back in the day when you get on the phones and everybody be talking.
The chat line.
Chat line.
Yeah, but it was something else, man. It wasn't a chat line. It was called Party Line.
Yeah, party line.
And, you know, we was, you know, one of my partners had a little money and his brother, and they came together. So it was called the Penthouse Party Line. And Quick Sister called in. And my boy Tweed chopped it up with his sister. Instead of little brother do music and your producer. And, you know, he was a fledgling and, you know, kind of new to it at that time. But he still had a talent that was apparent to anybody that would pay attention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, shit. Basically, he auditioned with one of Tweed Beats for us, man, after a conversation between Tweed and his sister. And one thing led to another, man. And, you know, a nigga had to go out there and get him and grab him up and make him part of the clique. He was like the missing piece, you know?
So when y'all first heard his music, did y'all know, like, this guy is going to be somebody? He ended up being DJ Quick, but did y'all see something in him like, hey, he got to be down with us, because we know, if anything, this young man going to be something in his music. He going to be a force.
Well, yeah, absolutely. As you're pursuing the dream, you realize that, you know, you need the right pieces together to continue the journey. And when you're young, you might not be seeing that far ahead like a lot of cats might have, you know, seen it like that. But, you know, we from the early days of hip hop, so to speak. Well, not that early, but, you know, the first 10 years. Yeah. So it's like, you know, at that time, it was just about making the music and coming together and doing what we do. So, of course, yeah, definitely. When we met Quick, when I met with Quick, when we did that little audition beat on me for Tweed, I knew he was somebody that was, he was the missing piece, you know what I'm saying, of what we was trying to do. Because we had dealt with other DJs and other situations. And, you know, me and Tweed wasn't really, we hadn't been together that long at that time, but at least about a year or two, maybe at the most. But, mm-hmm. you know, we knew that your boy Quick was what we was looking for to make us complete. You know, somebody that come into the clique and be what, you know, apparently other cats that had their DJ and their music maker a part of their clique, you know? Mm-hmm. Jazzy Jeff and Eric B and, you know what I'm saying, cats like that, because that's really where we was, how we was moving. And then, of course, Dre, you know, Dre was one of the greatest influences on Quick, you know what I'm saying? Dre and Easy, you know, they really was like the cats he wanted to be, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, at this time, who bubbling in L.A.? You said it's early, it's 88. Yeah,
it's 88. So, you know, N.W.A. was doing their thing, you know.
A little more
underground. It was really dominant.
Bubbling. Yeah, I'm saying, like, we know N.W.A., but, like, who's some people who didn't make it to the surface, but y'all still looked at the time like, hey, this group or this person could possibly be right behind N.W.A.?
Man, I don't know if a cat even gave that type of thing a thought. You know, we was in a circle of a lot of artists, though. You know, we were, you know, dealing with, you know, Battle Cat was in the cut. It was some cats over there around the corner, Double Trouble, you know, some neighborhood cats. You know what I'm saying? It was a lot of things going on at the time, but the focus really wasn't on what other cats was doing. It was on what we was doing, you know?
Mm-hmm. I heard that, man. Let me ask you this, Ham. So, when did you guys become the Penthouse Players Clique?
Well, that was something I was moving with before I even got involved with Tweed, before I even got involved with Quick. Because, you know, when you're younger, especially coming up in the era we come up in, if you ain't gangbanging, you ain't doing nothing. And I wasn't gangbanging, you know what I'm saying? So, I wanted to be a part of something that I could, you know, represent without getting caught up in that gang thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, man, I done told this story before. One of my partners, man, his name is Mark. I wish I could remember his last name. But, you know, when I was looking for a name for my clique, trying to think of how I wanted to move with this rap, because I was starting to rap and, you know, I felt like I was real good at it and had potential. And my boy was walking down the street and I seen Penthouse Players on the back of his jacket, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, you ain't no player, I'm gonna take that. And I just added original and click and mashed with it, you know, and made it famous, so to speak, you know. And I wonder where my boy at now, man, because I feel like I owe him something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how that happened, man. That Penthouse Players, I liked it, that name, you know. Mm-hmm. And they was already kind of calling me Player Ham without even, you know, knowing that that's the direction it was going in. You know what I'm saying?
So, like, one thing that just stood out to me, you was, like, very adamant about staying away from the gang culture and the gang life. Was that because, like, your upbringing inside the household? What made you want to stay away from gangs at a time where people was rushing to be a part of the gang?
Well, I wouldn't say they was rushing, but what I would say was it had its appeal. You know, I knew some real gangster cats, some real Crip niggas that, you know, that I admired, you know what I'm saying? And I knew that I wasn't them. You know, I knew that what my niggas doing, I'm not doing that. But we was, you know, in the neighborhood, you know, and like I said, whatever neighborhood you grow up in, you affiliated with that neighborhood anyway on some level or another. So I just happened to be at that time in the 30s, Harlem. And so my niggas was Harlem Crips. You know what I'm saying? And even though when I went to school at Lot, and, you know, my original cats, them was Main Street cats. You know what I'm saying? 9-8 and all that. But on the west side is where I was living at the time. So my, you know, my major affiliation, even though my niggas is from over there off of Maine, but my brothers too are as well are from Harlem. And so, you know, I knew that wasn't me though. I mean, I knew what my niggas was doing, I wasn't gonna do. I knew when they was hanging out, I wasn't hanging out like that. You know what I'm saying? I was on to something different, but them was still my cats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't, you know, I knew that wasn't me, man. I knew that was something I wanted to be a part of, you know?
Yeah, that's honorable. Yeah. That's honorable.
Yeah, so let me ask you this, Ham. So you guys went in there and y'all started working with Quick immediately off the rip on the Players House Click album, right?
Yeah, Penthouse Players Click. Right, well, we're not necessarily on the album, just music. Just because Quick was his style. Quick didn't have quite, you know what direction he was going to go in at the time. You know what I'm saying? Quick was singing when he came to the Click. He wasn't even really rapping. He was just doing beats and singing. And, you know, but he had the potential. You know, you could hear it. It's like, boy, you did that? And he was around one of his uncles that was making music. And so, you know, he was being groomed and teaching himself how to do the things he was doing. And as far as he say, he was already doing little DJ shit, you know? So getting off into the creativeness of the keys, he kind of taught himself, but the gift was obviously in it, you know?
Right. Yeah, you know, a lot of people
trying to make music. When he told us he needed this or he needed that, you know, like, you know, my mom's really looked out for us, man. So, you know, between her and my partners that was getting money in the streets, and, you know, we tell them, this is what we need, this is what we got to do, you know, niggas be like, well, hey, whatever you need, man, I got your back. You know what I'm saying? So when we needed a PC equipment, you know, we get it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned, hold on 1 second. You mentioned the importance of the DJ back during that time. And a lot of people don't know that the DJ was actually a really big part of the music. You know what I'm saying?
Like the star.
He was the one that kept the crowd interested in what you was doing. If you wasn't a sexy nigga or, you know, whatever a lot of cats was, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, certain groups, I guess the DJ was background. But when he was the forefront, you know, a lot of the DJ's name was involved in the name of the group. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times it was the DJ who was the man. You know what I'm saying? So it just depends on how you entered it, how you moved. And we was
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The click. So, you know, even though I call myself the lead rapper or whatever, but, you know, the click wouldn't have been what it was without Quick. And Quick wouldn't have been what he is without the click. But that don't mean the shit wouldn't have went and did whatever it was going to do. That don't mean niggas wouldn't have went on to something great. It just means that what it is under the great influence of each other, you know?
Yeah. So now working together and y'all become this crew and everything, what's the record that y'all record and y'all say, oh, no, we getting a deal off this one? Because eventually y'all signed to one of the greatest record labels in the world, which would be Ruthless Records, right? So what was the record that made y'all say, hey, we getting a deal off this. We can really do this. We got our missing piece. Let's go. We ready.
In all honesty, homie, we had like three deals before we got that, before that Penthouse Players Click deal arrived, right?
Okay. That's exclusive.
Yeah, we had situations where we were supposed to move in a certain direction and it didn't happen. Together we were with West Coast Record Distributors. And that was when Lonzo Williams, Unknown DJ, Rudy Pardee, and Egyptian Lover
Let me go back to the Unknown DJ real quick. The Unknown DJ was known for gaffling Young Brothers Publishing back in the day.
Well, we didn't have that issue. I ain't saying that would have happened or wouldn't have happened later. But, you know, that was just the name of the game, homie. When them cats, you know, them cats just was following suit of what they was told, homie. You know, that's that. I mean, if you don't know, you're going to get got. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, in that situation, they just wasn't moving quick enough for us, you know. And so we moved on from that situation to another situation.
Okay.
And that situation we moved on to was a cat named George Murphy up out of 8 Mile Road. He was, I think he was a Detroit cat, but he had a
Yeah. That name sounds familiar when he said that. We from the Midwest. I'm from Angster, Michigan. That's 20 minutes from Detroit. So when you just said that name, I'm like, yo, that sounds kind of familiar, dog.
Yeah, George Murphy was a cat who was, you know, trying to make moves. He had a studio in Pico in L.A., and so we was locked in with them for a minute. They put us in the big studio, and, you know, we was making music with him, but once again, it was a situation where it wasn't moving like it was supposed to move, and so we moved on from him as well, you know. Mm-hmm. We had a few songs, like when you ask about songs, man, you know, like I said, I was the lead rapper, so most of the music that was really getting the most attention was shit that I was rapping on. We had a song called Small Time Pusher. We had a song called Hitting It. We had a song called Baby Wants a Baller. We had a song called Eat My Dust. And so we had music that once Quick came together with what he was doing with them samples, man, Quick, you know, was magic with the way he was sampled, man. And but like I said, he followed in the footsteps of Dre, homie. He knew what he wanted to do and how he wanted to do it. So he took, you know, the Dre style, mixed in his own thing, and then took the Eazy-E rap style, mixed in his own thing, mixed with what we was teaching him and showing him and sharing with him. And that just, you know, nigga just grew stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, you know? But, you know, we was making music. I mean, we had a lot. And then, you know, Quick had them underground records that everybody heard on that red tape. Mm-hmm. And when he first started trying to do that gangbang music, I was telling him, nah, you ain't gonna do that over here, you know? So he did it anyway with whoever would allow him to do it, you know? And so that was bubbling at the time. It's like I was just talking to somebody recently about how, you know, my main influences in rap is you know, the cats from, you know, the early to mid 80s, you know, the Big Daddy Kanes, KRS-Ones, and Rakims, and, you know,
Spitters.
You know, them cats was the cats that when I came in the game, them is the cats I was, you know, on the level of trying to, you know, be the peer of, you know, not really realizing that the game was changing. And them cats was, you know, for lack of better terms, that music was on its way out. And the new music, the gangster shit, was coming in and getting a lot stronger. You know what I'm saying? So even the, you know, the fan raps that Quick and Second to None was doing, we had music like that too. And, you know, but that ain't the music that we did when we was working on the Penthouse Players Click album, you know? We had options to do whatever we pretty much wanted to do, man. And nigga had carte blanche over there, Priority, fucking with Easy and all that. But, you know, hindsight is 2020. You know, at the time we stepped over there to Ruthless, we didn't know Dre wasn't going to be there, or the issue with Dre and Easy and Ice Cube. The Ice Cube thing, we knew about that, but we didn't know that Dre was gone. You know what I'm saying? Until we was locked in and we was moving forward. We wasn't really aware of, you know, because my deal came in 91, early 91. So, like I say, once again, when you don't know the inner workings of things that are going on, the drama that Q might have brought to Priority, and, you know, all the, you know, the shit that, you know, you see in the movies now, that you're like, oh, that's what happened. You know what I'm saying? See, we wasn't aware of all them things going on at the time.
Now, listen, you said y'all wasn't aware that Dre was moving on. Do you think that would have affected your decision to go to Ruthless if you had known that? Because,
I definitely think it would have affected Easy's decision to fuck with us, because Easy was really chess moving to get to Quick. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And on whatever level he wanted to do that on, that's what my hindsight is telling me. But, you know, Ruthless was a powerhouse. So, you know, Easy was going to fuck with some people, and he was going to get some things going. He had Rhythm D and whoever else he was fucking with doing music. So, you know, Easy was going to make some shit happen no matter what. But he was just, you know, spreading his wings because, you know, the man had money and he was still a regular cat. But he was just moving with a lot of power behind him, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think he would have made different decisions. Now, you know, the money talk. So, you know, like I said, the only difference I would really say was I would have asked Easy for more money and I think he would have gave it to me.
Yeah.
You know, but me, you know, naive to certain moves and cats wasn't really sharing the whole truth with me about what was going on, you know, things went the way they went, you know?
So you believe Easy was trying to look at Quick kind of like as a replacement for Dr. Dre? Oh,
absolutely, I believe that. You know what I'm saying? And excuse me?
Smart man.
Oh, absolutely, bro. I can't say nothing bad about Easy, homie. You know what I'm saying? Whatever I asked Easy for, he gave me. When he started having them issues and dealing with what he was dealing with, you know, we was cool, but, you know, I wasn't one of his confidants. I wasn't one of the people that, you know, that he looked to support whatever he was doing and how he was doing it. So, you know, I can't expect nothing but for it to go the way it went, understanding what I understand now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, did Easy and them approach you guys with that deal?
Well, yes and no. One of my partners, either he met Jerry or he met Jerry in a bathroom at one of them high-powered restaurants or something and knew who he was, and he jibbed at him. And then one thing led to another. Then Easy expressed interest based on the association and affiliation. And we was already kind of like making moves because we had been in a couple of situations. Because we were signed, me, Quick, and Tweed, before Quick got his deal over there with Greedy Greg now at Profile. Me, Quick, and Tweed were signed together with Suge and DOC. When DOC had his accident and left and was doing his own thing with Suge, they was over there with a white boy named
Brian Klein?
Nah.
Brian Klein, something like that.
Oh man, I can't think of his name, but it was Fern Hill. The production.
That's
was
what I was gonna say. It wasn't even Death Row yet. It was Fern Hill.
Yeah.
Also, y'all originally was on Fern Hill. Y'all one of the first groups that was on Fern Hill.
Exactly, Fern Hill, and it was Funky Enough Records because it was DOC thing.
Yeah.
We learned a lot of history tonight because a lot of this ain't been said nowhere else.
Well, yeah. You know, it's been in the cut, but everybody ain't paying attention. You know, so.
Yeah.
And we did that, and then, you know, we was already making noise and talking shit, you know?
Yeah.
And when Quick stepped off with that underground tape and did what he did over there with Greedy now, and then got the deal at Profile, and then he dropped in 91 like a bomb on the game, you know what I'm saying? And then Second to None came, and AMG was in the cut with Bitch Better Have My Money, and High C was over there affiliated with I'm Not Your Puppet. And so we had a whole thing going at that time, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where niggas, if we'd have been able to stay together or at least under that umbrella, so to speak, we could have made some really lovely things happen. But you know, cats, greed and selfishness and
ego
and insecurity and you know,
all that shit. Camp, Ham. You know, when I was an artist, man, that was the camp I came through with High C, you know, but this was like later on.
Uh-huh.
And all of them, and I realized how powerful it was, but I also saw it wasn't no unity. I think if that thing could have got kept together, because I knew that you were kind of like, I didn't get to meet you back then, but I knew you was making records with Sugar Free too.
Yeah, well, that was later on in the game, because Sugar Free was, I think, wasn't even a part of it in the beginning.
No.
He was locked up, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But by that time, you know, Quick was in a much more comfortable and powerful position, but everybody who he was associating with and affiliating with wasn't necessarily forthcoming with what really needed to be known to build.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that was, you know, of the comparison of Ruthless or Death Row or anything. Like, the niggas wanted it, but, you know, niggas didn't know how to go about it, homie, I guess. I mean, you know I didn't. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Now, look, though, because eventually land on Ruthless. Talk about when that debut Nationwide album came out. Like, what was the reception? What was some of y'all bigger markets besides the West Coast? Because I'm a lot younger than y'all. I'm 40 years old, but I remember these records coming out of the West Coast. You know what I mean?
West Coast had smashed.
So what was the big markets?
We had love in the Midwest, real love in Chicago, Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, and down south, we have real love in a lot of places, homie, because our album came out, debuted number one on Heat Seekers. So they was pushing the line because that alliance between Quick and Easy was something that, you know, that made noise, you know, and we was like the group that was allowed to make that noise. You know what I'm saying? But see, the thing was, you know, you got business intentions that don't necessarily come to fruition because certain people don't want to see it or they don't want to share certain truths with you. So you might have big ideas, but not knowing what it takes to make them happen. Because initially, I was signed alone as Penthouse Players Click.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Quick wasn't on that paperwork. Tweed wasn't on that paperwork. Mm-hmm. But I brought that situation together because of my ties and affiliations with them. You see what I'm saying? And so when it was time to basically for Ruthless Priority to sign Tweed rather than sign him, they wanted to amend the Penthouse Players Click paperwork to make him a part of that. And it was an issue behind that because I don't know if they gave that man some money or not. I know that man didn't give me no money. I'm saying Tweed didn't give me no money. But I looked out for Tweed and gave that nigga some money when he was on my album. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, the bottom line was the initial thing was to do, you know, Penthouse Players Click, Tweed Cadillac album, Player Ham album, and then another Penthouse Players Click album, all within the first, you know, 12 to 18 to 2 years to try to build something like that. You see what I'm saying? Because we was already locked in. Because I wasn't signed as Player Ham, neither. I was signed as Penthouse Players Click. So even though the branding thing wasn't really as big as it is now, it was still a direction we was trying to go in with what we were doing. You know, but we didn't have, you know, I didn't have a management. I didn't have attorneys. You know, I didn't have a guidance. I didn't have all the things that, you know, that even the niggas right next to me, even niggas like Quick, homie, he didn't pull my coattail when it came to, you know, damn, you're going to need this and you're going to need that and you're going to need to do this and you're going to need to do that, you know, and I probably wouldn't have paid no attention to the nigga anyway. But the bottom line was he didn't even give me that opportunity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when it comes to things like that, when a nigga knows something and he don't tell this nigga we supposed to be brothers and he know, you know, he know, oh, over there, you're going to do your thing. So I ain't going to let you go over there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's just the type of shit we dealing with, man.
You know, I wanted to ask you about some lyrics from a song, man, that Quick had, you know, Safe and Sound, right? Because he mentioned you. My niggas Player Ham and Xena gave me a place to stay. On my way up from Bottom Rock, bitches starting to jock because my hair is getting longer and game's getting stronger. To pull my weight, I went and got a job. But by then, Ham and Xena really started the squad. About whether I should go or stay, she told him either he goes or you go, so we both was on our way.
Yeah, absolutely.
You left your woman behind, Quick?
Nah, bro. I left my woman behind what her and I were going through. But definitely, you know, that was part of it. You know what I'm saying? Pursuing your dream and wanting to be what you want to be. And, you know, you dealing with issues that, you know, who could see? You know what I'm saying? At that time, it's like, you know, the things we were doing. You know, I got niggas up in my house with my kids. And, you know, we trying to make music and we doing what niggas doing. We Penthouse Players Click. So we attracted a certain element. You know what I'm saying? The niggas in the streets doing things. So it was a lot going on at the time. A lot of pulling niggas in different directions, you know?
It just was a different atmosphere.
Relationship, excuse me?
I said, so it was kind of more like the atmosphere.
Oh, absolutely, man. You know, I mean, I could get into a whole lot of personal shit as to why, you know, I think, you know, shit went the certain way that it went. But the bottom line is that nigga telling a true story. She did actually shoot that ultimatum a nigga way. And I did choose, you know, based on everything, a career and that move when I had that option, as opposed to I'm not going to stay here and deal with this mouth, you know, when this mouth ain't serving me like I really want to be served. You know what I'm saying? You know, mm-hmm. When you're young, you do what you do, man. So, you know, me and Gina is partners right now. That's one of my best friends, you know, Deuce and Joey's mother. So, you know, all BS to the left, you know, the motivation and inspiration in this music game is, you know, who's to say what's next, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So look, after the debut album come out, you seeing stuff kind of taking off, but like you said, you got bigger ideas and they not going in place. Is this turning you off from the music industry? Not from rapping, but from the music industry?
Nah, homie, it was turning me off from dealing with certain niggas on a certain level, though, for sure. You know what I'm saying? When I say niggas, I ain't just talking about black men. You know, I'm talking about niggas and bitches and whites.
Yeah, nigga is universal. Me too. It ain't just black.
Yeah, men. You know, so it's like you're dealing with people on a certain level. And like I say, once again, you know, it's difficult to throw yourself under the bus on me, but I wasn't the easiest cat to talk to. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't the easiest person to tell some or God, if you didn't love me and I didn't know it and I didn't love you and you didn't know it, and that honor and respect and integrity that come with, you know, and my niggas who would have been my niggas that would have been able to, you know, control certain movement that was wise enough, you know, they was doing time. My hustlers that was really in the position to really, you know, really like, nigga, we gonna do this. Them niggas, they was doing other things or they was, you know, they was locked away.
So was your age range at this time? Like when this
I was like, the Ruthless deal was 92. So I was 28. So okay. 27 because we had that the album came in 92. So yeah. I was signed in 91. But we was fucking with, you know, like beginning of making this shit happen around 88. When me and Quick and Tweed, when Quick came to be a part of the clique, it wasn't 6 months before we got our first record deal together. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that was, I was about 24 then. You see what I'm saying? So it wasn't that, you know, a nigga wasn't old enough to know better. It was that a nigga wasn't shown what he needed to be shown, was what we was into was what we was into, you know? And so if you wasn't that type of businessman or that type of hustler, you know, if you was allowing yourself to be distracted by the menial, trivial things that don't really matter in a real man's reality, then you going to deal with what you're dealing with and go through what you're going through, and your priorities going to be that what they were, you know? And then if a motherfucker ain't going to tell you, you're going to take advantage of your ignorance. You know, you got niggas in the street getting money, man. I was dealing with hustler cats, homie. In the neighborhood, niggas that was, you know, riding bins and moving weight, homie. You know what I'm saying? Them niggas was giving me money and looking out and helping. And yeah, I want to be down with that, ham. So even though, you know how it was back then, niggas was gangbanging and hustling. Niggas wasn't rapping. Niggas was clowning niggas with this rap shit. You know, now, you know, back then, maybe 2 out of 20 niggas or 30 niggas or 50 niggas was fucking with music and rapping. You know what I'm saying? It was 15, 20 niggas gangbanging and 10, 15 niggas hustling, and the rest of these niggas was trying to do whatever they was trying to do, or they was dope fiends or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So right. The game kind of flipped, you know, and you had to really have talent. You really had to be saying something back then. You really had to have all the ducks in a row, so to speak. Everybody didn't sound alike. You know what I'm saying? When somebody came out new, they was different. They brought something different to the table. It ain't like the shit that's hot, the shit they pushing, yeah, just do that. You know what I'm saying? That shit changed after gangster rap, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how would you say that was shaping your sound at the time? Because y'all had some records, but to compete with what was going on, because in 92, Death Row was taking off.
Death Row took off summer 92, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, once again, you know, the game was changing, you know. It was different things in control from hindsight, as far as I'm concerned. And when you think about everything that involved, that's involved in that, you know, Death Row was once again another powerhouse. But where's Death Row today? You see what I'm saying? So with an understanding of looking back, you know, of course, I'm sure, you know, cats, if they had the opportunity, would have done things a little different, you know. But at the same time, you know, that this rap game eat its own, man.
What me and my brother like to do is we like to correct people when they say the rap game or the music game, because with games, you get prizes. With music, this is a business. And if you think it's a game, then that's why people lose at it, because they don't understand that it's a business. Because you just told us, the 28-year-old you, if you knew better, you would have did better with the business. You feel me? So we always make sure to say to people, this ain't the rap game, this the music business. And when you do business, the end result is money. When you play a game, you either win a prize or you lose everything. And too many people say the game and they lose everything. So that's why we say this the music business.
Well, absolutely. But once again, you know, I respect that perspective 1,000%. But you know, the basketball, you know, league, it's a game. All these different sports is games. Boxing is a game. You know what I'm saying? All these different, it's a game too. But you got to have your business right or somebody around you that got their business right. Otherwise, you know, this game will eat its own. That business will eat its own. Because, you know, since the beginning of the exploitation of art and other people's talents, you know, this game is built on people manipulating the ignorance of those with the greatest talent. And that's why you got people like Mike and Prince and certain individuals who was like, no, I'm bucking against that. And now you got this cat, Kanye, who's really like saying, you know, y'all got me fucked up. You know what I'm saying? So Kanye is really one of the, you know, what I'm seeing in his movement, he's really going to bridge the gap, you know, if he's allowed to, you know, protect himself on the level necessary. He's going to bridge the gap between Martin, Malcolm, Medgar, and Prince, and Michael, and Muhammad. You know, Kanye can bridge that gap, man. You know what I'm saying? And become Tupac, Obama. You know what I'm saying?
That's deep. That's deep. Let me ask you a question. Because you was around two of the possibly the greatest, two of the greatest CEOs of black music on the West Coast. Not just the West Coast, but music, Eric Wright and Suge Knight. Uh-huh. You see young Suge back when Fern Hill was cracking. How was his demeanor back then? Was he the aggressive Suge? Was he the
He wasn't King Blood back then. That's all I could say. You know what I'm saying? It was love and respect. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't, you know, all that shit wasn't going on. You know, it wasn't what was popping. You know what I'm saying? But I guess, you know, when you get to a certain level, you got more options. Yeah. You know, of course, you know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. You know, I don't mean no disrespect to Suge, man. He showed us love. And when they didn't move fast enough and the nigga stepped to him and like, look, man, we need to go if you ain't gonna do what you know, if we ain't gonna do nothing. Suge said, give me my money back and you can go. Shit, man, you know, we gave that man his money back and stepped off. And when we did that, that's when Quick went over there with Greedy now. And, you know, it was issues behind that because, you know, we thought we was moving in a different direction. But, you know, like I said, man, I ain't mad at about none of that, homie.
Yo, was never signed to Greedy Greg then.
No, I wasn't signed. I wasn't fucking with Greedy like that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was a lot involved, once again. You know what I'm saying? With the way cats was moving and getting down. And well, so...
That could have derailed, that move Quick made with Greedy Gray could have derailed his career because he wound up having major problems with Profile Records. Remember they had him on suspension and stuff?
Well, Quick made a lot of decisions from, you know how they say, man, hurt people. And Quick was probably holding down and holding back a lot of pain and frustration that he felt with his family and whatever other relationships and whatever else was going on inside his head. Only, you know, I don't fuck with him like that right now, so I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It saddens.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy, reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
To me, that you know, we don't have a relationship that we could have had based on what we had in the beginning, you know? But right. I'd rather know the truth now than to be caught up in with more to lose than ever, because, you know, you fuck with certain niggas, man, and, you know, you get caught up in the collateral. You know? And that nigga got them niggas got to deal with a lot of shit I don't have to deal with, homie. I don't look over my shoulder in these streets, homie. I don't worry about things that niggas worry about. I walk in places, they might not know who I am, but if they find out my name, I ain't worried about a nigga running up on me. People with no bitch shit, you know what I'm saying? Now I don't know, you know, what the future holds, but I know the bottom line is, you know, I ain't just, you know, burnt no bridges or fucked over nobody, man, that I'm worried about coming back at. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so look, earlier you mentioned, like, you like with Jenna, you got two sons. Do any of your children do music?
The young Giants, man. They're the L.A. Giants now. They, you know,
them your sons.
Oh, yeah.
Cameras
crazy, homie. You ain't keeping game, homie. See me representing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
they're my boys, man. Both of them is my sons, homie. Yeah, you know, it's been instilled from the, you know, the very beginning. I'm not one of the cats that don't want my niggas to do what I did better, you know? Yeah. I mean, you know, you look at cats that's got their boys and their children up in this game, and they don't even want them motherfuckers to blow up, man. It's like, nigga, why you ain't? I ain't touching that. You know what I'm saying?
No, you got to touch it, though, because people got to know that you in your son's corner when it comes to this shit, because there ain't no reason that somebody wouldn't be. Like, look, you can only take it so far, right? If I'm a artist, I only reached where the people allow me to go. If my kids can take the baton and be the best in the world, guess what? Daddy, y'all manager, not, because I done seen this shit, and I ain't going to let it happen to y'all.
Yeah. And when I tell y'all that, when I tell you that they beast dog, you could tell that they was reared under some true MCing, they monsters.
That's right. Good looking, baby. Good looking. Monsters.
And you know, Big Steel, me and them now. You know, I'm managing now, and I'm pretty sure, you know, their dad, man, of course, he overseeing everything, but I'm managing the man. Them is my little monsters, and we got something brewing, because the thing people don't understand these labels, the way the record labels work today, like, I ain't going to put no stuff out there now. We'll be talking to some people actually right now, but when you talk, even when you're talking to the head dude up at a record label, he has to have certain people in that building that's going to be willing to journey on his cause with him. So when he brings that record up and say, I want to sign this group, you got to remember, when you say you go sign a group, you committing to a lot of money and a lot of resources. So you want to make sure that whole building is on board with your decision that you make. So right now, we floating through one of the major buildings, dog, and just kind of like letting everybody put in their ear on some stuff. And right now, we getting good feedback, dog. But it ain't as easy as people think when you go to get a record deal, dog. It's got to be a lot, even if you go there, dude.
Especially when the game, the business is prone to fuck over you.
Yeah.
If you allow it. You see what I'm saying? So if you coming in and they knowing I ain't gonna be able to fuck them like that. So then the question becomes, do I even want to be involved and do I want to see them with something? Because I ain't gonna be able to manipulate that situation the way I'm used to.
Especially when we come in with our own thing, kind of, because we already got a record, got a million views on it before we even touch somebody. It's getting placed. They know we come up in there, it ain't gonna be just, we not just signing anything. We don't have to be going to work where we going.
It's authentic. You know what I'm saying? It's it's legitimate. It's not something that's just doctored up and, you know, blowing up in your face. You think it's something that it's not. It's not that fentanyl. You know what I'm saying? It ain't. It's that real shit. You know. Yeah. So, it's like a situation where, you know, we really just want to deal with people that feel like we feel and roll with people that roll like we do. And right now, I feel like that's what we doing. You know what I'm saying? And everybody who get involved, you know, I feel like, you know, they one of us. You know what I'm saying? We all cut of the same cloth from a different motherfucking pattern. You know what I'm saying? But it's all love, you know what I'm saying? So it's a situation where it's too much potential in what we're doing for niggas to not appreciate and respect how we coming in this motherfucker this time, you know? So
I noticed you had said that you don't really rock with Quick right now. Is it a situation where that can be rectified with a conversation man to man?
Can it be rectified with a conversation man to man? No. But what it can do is establish a fair exchange.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the moment.
Yeah.
And in the next fair exchange. And then the next fair exchange. Because, you know, I don't know what he trusts or how he move or who around him, what they doing. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you walk in the grocery store and, you know, long as it don't stink and it ain't too dirty, you go over to the butcher, you know, you're going to trust that when whatever you buy is going to be healthy for your family.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you why I asked that too, right? I asked that because your son's coming up in the game. They're in L.A. I mean, I talk to people all the time. I say, what's your dream collaboration if you can get one producer? I always hear one or two producers when the people coming from the West Coast. It's either going to be Dre or it's going to be Quick. And I ask that because when that time come, I would hate for Quick to not be 100 and work with the next up and coming, because he got an old issue with their dad.
Well, we've had some situations. Two situations have been in play, but I'm going to let him break that down.
Well, if Quick wanted to see niggas with something, homie, he'd have been seen them.
Yeah.
Right? See, people can say whatever they want to say from a lack of understanding or a lack of knowledge. But Quick done had his own record label, man, since the 90s. I mean, Quick could put out music whenever he want to. Yeah. Quick got relationships with radio stations. Quick can do whatever he want to do. And obviously, that's what he do. Now, if he ain't putting nobody out, he been out of label for 20 years. If he ain't putting no artists out, no, he didn't put out Second to None. No, he didn't put out Sugar Free. No, he didn't put out Mossberg. No, he didn't put out nobody but himself. So if he wanted to do more,
he would.
You know what I'm saying? So if he ain't fucking with niggas, you know, ask some other niggas, some real artists, if they've been around him. You ain't. Niggas might be honest, and niggas might be like, man, I ain't touching that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like, man, I 1988, homie, 87, 88. Man, my Big Joe West, man, he 34, 35 years old now. He was a baby when Quick came around, homie. DJ Quick Talk Deuce Smack how to ride a bike, homie.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? He was, that's who he was in our reality. Like I said, he slept in the room with my sons and they were babies, homie. You understand? Little boys. So, yeah. You know, if he want to see niggas with something and he want to collab, the door stay cracked for the real ones, homie. We ain't worried about it, man. We stay ready for whatever, you know? So if the man want to do some business and do some work, we could do some work. But he ain't going to come with that, you know, nothing less than what we coming with. You know what I'm saying? He either need to come to the table like that because, you know, the situation was you know, a lot of truth should have been shared that wasn't, man. And I can't be mad about that because I should have went elsewhere and got it.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, homie, you know, Quick did, you know, sell me a house with no interest, you know what I'm saying, with no markup, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, he sold it to a nigga with the equity in it. So I can't be mad, but when it, you know, when it's all boiled down to what's real, homie, Quick know what's real, and he know I know what's real, you know?
Yeah, that's understandable, you know, but
yeah,
I had to ask that, though, because that's what the people was going to want to know.
Hey, you
know?
Listen, bro, we'll fuck with Quick if Quick want to fuck with us, but he ain't gonna put no cut on the sack, homie.
Yeah.
Well, he ain't gonna serve a nigga no 60-40, no 50-50, no 40-60. He gonna serve a nigga 1,000-1,000.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if it ain't like that, then we don't even need to play with each other's intelligence, you know?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, because I was asking you about them CEOs, man.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of stuff about Easy, dog. A whole lot of stuff. Easy was a joker. Uh-huh. They say he was the funniest people around. What was your relationship like with Easy?
Man, Easy was like, my recollection is he kept it business, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't overbearing. He didn't consider himself above a nigga. He considered a nigga as his peer, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he knew who he was and how much was backing him. You know what I'm saying? And so it wasn't like he gave me, you know, the game. He gave Quick more game than he gave me. You know what I'm saying?
I was his artist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Is it because him and Quick build a different relationship, like hung together more? And well, like since you was the artist, were you just cutting records and leaving?
Oh, you know, absolutely, absolutely, bro. Like I said, I wasn't there, right? And a lot of this is speculation and just my opinion, but Quick. Easy desired that relationship with Quick. And Penthouse Players Click was a way to facilitate that. You see what I'm saying? That's my opinion, right? So I know that, you know, even if Quick wasn't going to Easy, or he was, Easy was the type of cat. When I found out that Easy and Quick had this.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Ilya Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Same accountants. You see what I'm saying? I couldn't have the same accountants because I'm his artist.
Right.
But, you know, when I found out that Easy and Quick had the same accountants, that wasn't because of Quick. That was because of Easy.
Right, because here, get down with him.
That meant Easy said, I'm going to put you on. I'm about to help you with something. I'm going to help you. You see what I'm saying? Because Quick obviously needed what Easy represented, and he gravitated toward that on one level or another. But Easy was a smart man, homie. You know what I'm saying? You can't the same thing about Suge. Suge was smart to do what he did, but then a lot of shit wasn't so smart. You know what I'm saying? We all of us are like that. We make a lot of wise shit, wise moves, and then we make a lot of stupid moves. You know what I'm saying? Or not so wise moves, you know?
Now, when you was over at Ruthless Ham, y'all did have some good producers. You mentioned Rhythm D. I know DJ Bobcat that came in there at one time as like the head producer. And y'all had some other cats too, Above the Law.
That's another mistake I made, homie. See, I should have fucked with them niggas back then. I had actually been fucking with a lot of people. You know, when Priority asked me who I wanted to like do music with, I think the only person I said was Scarface. You know what I'm saying? So they're trying to put that together. But, you know, I could have said anybody. I could have said Rakim. I could have said KRS. I could have said all my label mates of Priority. You know what I'm saying? Whoever was over there doing their thing. But that ain't what I did. You see what I'm saying? So that's on me. But at the same time, you know, our album was produced exclusively by DJ Quick with one song by Battle Cat that they ultimately gave Quick the credit for. And that was just to keep your attention. You know what I'm saying? Plus a little production that I did because I was playing with it, and then Quick just basically screwed and did what he did and made it do what it do, which was Jealous Knuckleheads. But the bottom line is, you know, back then things were different. You know, a lot of things were different. It was only, you know, it was limited ways to make it happen. Now it's pretty much unlimited ways, but it's still a limitation as far as going to that next level. You got to really, you know, hit the lottery to go to that next level without some associations or affiliations with something that's already cracked.
Yeah.
You know?
Now I'm gonna talk about some crazy stuff. And I ain't trying to piss nobody off or nothing. Yeah. But the easier to play with the Ouija boards around you. Did you ever hear about them playing with the Ouija boards?
I didn't see that side of him, homie. My opinion is if Easy was fucking with that, he just didn't know what he was fucking with, man, because he thought it was a game or a joke. You know what I'm saying?
But you had heard that before though, right?
Huh?
But you had heard that before though, right?
I heard something to that extent that he toyed with that. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah, you know, that was one of the things people, and I'd like to ask people that was around Easy, because nobody will ever come on camera and say it. And I ain't saying that you know, because damn, you didn't mess with him like that, evidently.
Yeah, but I wasn't that heavy into it. I heard things.
They tell me he messed with
that. Huh?
Yeah, people told me that he messed with that door, and it might have been him because he was a jokester.
Right.
Still, that's your favorite Eazy-E question. Anybody who was around Eazy-E, that's your favorite question to ask.
Well, I mean, you know, when it comes to spiritual things, man, everybody got their way they get out. You know what I'm saying? Shit happens, man. I wasn't there though. I didn't have to deal with none of that negative energy, man. Thank goodness. That's probably due once again to my mom, man, praying over my life and my reality, y'all. So and my grandmother and the people that, you know, in spite of me, you know, not doing what they told me to do and still doing what I did, but still being blessed to make it through, you know what I'm saying? And not be caught up, you know, never caught no case, never caught no DUI, you know, never got, you know, never been on child support for more than a couple of months till I handled that business. You know what I'm saying? So I'm blessed to be the made it through to this point. You know what I'm saying?
All praises do. Where did you land after the Ruthless album? Because I can tell to this day you never stopped making music. So where did you land, and what type of how did you feel about the industry after you done had everything, far as a number one record? Because it's mad niggas who rap. Everybody can't say they had a number one record. You understand what I'm saying?
On some chart, huh? Yeah, even though it wasn't that hell of a. But anyway,
no, man, don't downplay that. You can never downplay that because that was number one.
Do the Heat Seekers even exist now? It's just all love, bro. I ain't trying to make it sound like I ain't grateful. You know what I'm saying? I really am, homie. And it just reminds me too of what I fucked up. But anyway, let's just keep going. You know, it's like, you know, I dealt with some more homies on some love shit. My nigga Charlie and JT. We had XL Records, you know what I'm saying? And that was around the Sugar Free time, right? When I was making music and I did some really good music with my niggas, you know? Then after that, I was over there at fucking with Brainstorming, my nigga Big Bot. And then Greedy was involved to a certain extent. It's another, you know, another story. But anyway, so I bounced around, kept making music and kept trying to, you know, affiliate with different shit, you know, making music here, guesting there. But I never really, you know, pushed like I probably should have and could have, you know, until, you know, when my sons became of age and we started really trying to, you know, plug them in. So, you know, they got music with some high powered cats. They got music with Glasses, they got music with Jelly Roll, they got music with Black Tobin, they got music with Day One, they got music with Battle Cat, you know what I'm saying? They got music with a lot of different niggas, man. They working on music with other cats. And so, you know, my niggas is grown men and I'm proud of them and what they doing and how they represent, you know, to the next level. You know, and so, you know, I've always tried to instill in them to stand on their own and be their own and do their own thing, you know? And so all I've tried to do is just give them everything that I got to give them and allow them to pick and choose of it, what they want to take and what they want to lead in. I can't be mad at them, you know?
Yeah. Real talk. Hey, Ham, let me ask you this, man. So, you know, that Sugar Free came in on the tail end. What did you think of Royal Rock when you first heard him? You know, came in as Royal Rock first.
Right, of course. I liked the style, the comedic way he rapped about that pimping and the way he did his thing. It was real clever. You know what I'm saying? It was, I had to respect it. And then when he gave me so much love, you know what I'm saying? And allowed me to be a part of that debut project. You know, them is the most eyes I've ever had on anything I've ever done. You know, that's the most radio play I ever got on a song I ever been on. You know what I'm saying? So even though I got cut out, you know, of a lot of that because that shit blew up bigger than they thought it was, you know, because on the original version, I got the whole second verse.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But on the video, and I didn't even know I got cut out like that till I showed up at the video shoot uninvited. Niggas didn't even tell me about the video shoot, homie. You know what I'm saying? I just happened to find out through some other niggas and pulled up, ready to go. And I'm like, I don't even trip off niggas not telling me, right? But I'm telling you, when they start playing the song, homie, and I'm thinking it was time for my verse, and that nigga Sugar Free start rapping again, I was kind of shocked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Of course, I still played my position and did my thing, you know, and waited to see if I was on the third verse still or not. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But that was a heavy blow, man. I took that though, you know.
Now, who's the one you think that was?
Who I think made that decision?
Yeah.
It had to be the hierarchy over there at Shepherd Lane. You know what I'm saying? It had to be. They had to agree to it. Stan Shepherd, Tony Lane, DJ Quick. Mm-hmm. The other cat name who was involved, you know, it had to be them, homie. You know what I'm saying? They had to do that together. They had to do that together. And did not tell me, though, it's fucked up. They could have told me. I wouldn't, you know, it's a trip, man, how that shit go. What you say?
A lot of that be because when people be doing them slime bar moves, I'm just saying overall in the industry, they forget people, grown men. You could just tell me, bro, hey, look, we going in a different direction because the hard feelings going to be created when you just take me off and don't tell me about the video. You could have just told me, partner, like, look, we going in a different direction. I'm sure you would have respected that. You might have been upset, but you would have respected it more. You feel what I mean?
Of course, I wouldn't have had no choice. You know what I'm saying? Just like I didn't have no choice right then. But at the same time, you know, why, even though, you know, it's like it's moot now, but why do that? It ain't like right. They made the record better taking me off.
Because the record was already moving, right?
Yeah, the record was the hottest record on that, you know, like the most. That was the record, like I say, that's the one that put him on the map. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. For those that don't know what we're talking about, we talk about If You Stay Ready.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it ain't like I didn't do my thing on that record. You know what I'm saying? So I feel, you know, in all honesty, and I'm going to just say it, I feel like niggas didn't want me to shine. You know what I'm
saying? AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All
oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Saying they didn't want them, me to get that shine because I wasn't locked into no situation with them. And had that shit allowed me the opportunity to blow from that whole second verse, that level, you know what I'm saying? They couldn't control that.
Well, you wound up on the video ultimately, right?
Excuse me?
You wound up still being in that video though, right?
Yeah, I was there and I was in the video. I'm still in the third verse. They still gave me my few bars in the third verse and I'm still there. You know what I'm saying? But just like on the original version, on the album version, it say Sugar Free with Play a Hand. But when they remixed it, it say Sugar Free with DJ Quick. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
Telling y'all, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. So that's the radio version. But my verse was already radio. See, I was already ahead of the game when it came to that. I'm like, man, I'm not going to just cuss on shit no more. Well, they got to, I'm going to make my shit radio and still keep it, make niggas think they got cussed out. You know what I'm saying? But the bottom line is, that was in addition to whatever business move they thought they was making, they ain't want me to shine on me like that, homie. They just took that shine from me, homie. But I ain't mad at none of them niggas, man.
Because I don't think Black Tone, honestly, I don't think that was his get down. I don't think he even cared about shit like that, really.
Well, he was. He's the lane of Shepherd Lane. You know what I'm saying? He's the lane. You know what I'm saying? He danced on it, but now don't do him like that. That ain't my big homie. We cool as fuck, but that ain't my big homie. You know what I'm saying?
And this one, the business come in too, because you started talking about publishing splits on songs now, and the song was performing really well. So it's easy for them to say, hey, man, we own this dude, Quicks Publishing, and we got this cat, Player Ham, and he got to have the publishing on that song. We need to change that.
Exactly, bro. Exactly.
That's, you know, that's where the business come in at that publishing.
That's still an issue today. You know what I'm saying? That's still an issue today. Because the original version still is what it is, you know, but it's still a issue when it comes to that ownership right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
you ain't, so let me ask you this then, because that was a big record, damn. You didn't get your publishing off that song like you was supposed to?
I didn't get my whole piece. I got a portion, but I didn't get my whole portion.
Because that would have been a nice little check about that time, though. Yeah. They was playing that record.
It was coming nice at first. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, the numbers got changed. And when I sent my people to check it out, they said, the numbers changed. And I'm like, well, who does that? Where they do that? How they do that? You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, it's still an issue right now that's got to be ironed out, you know? But,
you know. Now, look, though. Where you get your nickname from? Because you L.A., it's usually something different. You play a ham. Like, where that come from?
Well, you know, in high school, homie, my boy JB, man, my brother from another mother, man, and the cat I've been looking up to ever since we've been adults, man, for everything he represent. He, you know, he had a business partner of mine. He gave me that name, Ham, right? Because in the high school band, we played Susie together. And so when the band conductor would call on somebody from our section to play a certain section of the song, I would always raise my hand and go, hey, I'll play it, and just start playing it because I could play. You know what I'm saying? I read music and everything.
What instrument?
Sousaphone, tuba.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, the bass horn.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that nigga would say, look at the big ham. You know what I'm saying? The big ham. So they just start calling me Big Ham at first. You know what I'm saying? And then from there, as, you know, a nigga demeanor and approach to the reality matured, the player thing just came in. Player Ham, look at Player Ham, and it stuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Once a nigga discovered that click name, homie, and like I say, seen the homie with the jacket on, and added them other descriptive narrative to it. You know what I'm saying? It became, you know, something I still represent to this day. You know.
Look, it was the Penthouse Players click. You got to tell me that you had a Penthouse before, right?
Excuse me.
I said you had a penthouse before, right?
Everywhere I dwell is the penthouse, homie.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm up in the doghouse, it's the penthouse, homie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everywhere I done lived, they done called it the penthouse, homie. If I just post up for a moment, nigga, this the penthouse now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all
up. I want to go back to something real quick, man, because I think you very underrated as well as above the law. I don't think above the law get nowhere near the credit that they should get, man, because they were very, not saying that Dre would never be Dre. Dre is the shit, as is DJ Quick. We can't never get that confused.
Yeah.
But Hutch, GoMac, and them cats over there was producing for them, dog. Dre got a little because they taught Warren G how to produce.
Yeah.
Dre got some shit from them, dog. And them dudes the shit. I think y'all could have did some incredible shit, Ham.
Hey, and we still can, homie. I fucks with Hutch. You know what I'm saying? We did a little something a couple of times, but I fucks with Hutch, man. We gonna probably put something together again real soon, man. You know?
Yeah. My brother was a intern at Psychopathic Records, and he was there the day that they signed Hutch, and he was the only person in the office besides ICP who knew who Hutch was, bro.
Wow. That was after Ruthless?
This was way after Ruthless. This was way after Ruthless. Hutch had signed like a deal. Huh?
4 or 5 years ago, right?
No, it probably was about 10, for real. It's more than 10, but yeah, my brother,
I remember when he signed over there.
Yep, my brother was the only person in the office. He was like, bro, you Hutch from above the law. Hutch couldn't believe it. He was the only person who knew who he was.
Yeah, that's wild, homie.
Yeah, no, but you know, ICP, they got a whole different fan base type of crowd.
Yeah, exactly. But when you play their music, man, you know where it came from, homie. You know they influence, homie. And Hutch been real humble about that, but at the same time, passive aggressive with it, you know. But he really, you know, he know what he can do, man, and he still do it, you know, fearlessly. You know what I'm saying? Number love and respect for Hutch, man.
Yeah, for real.
The whole Buffalo clan, homie. I respect that. The whole Pomona car, man. That nigga Pippin Young, and even that nigga Percy, man, you know, know, I got love for them niggas, man, you know?
Yeah, for real, man. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on, brother.
Nigga Weasel Logue, I got to say my nigga Weasel Logue. I can't do it. I can't talk about
homie Weasel Logue.
Yeah, that's my nigga, man.
Where can the people get at you at, Ham?
Man, you know it's at Penthouse Player Ham, homie, on all the platforms, homie. And, you know, I'm about to, you know, set off this other podcast thing too, man, the P Opinion, man. I've been pushing little sprinkles here and there, but, you know, I'm going to have my niggas come fuck with me on mine too, you know?
Well, for sure, dog. Whatever help you need from us, man, you let me know. I'm for sure.
Yeah, baby, I appreciate it, man. You know how we do.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And there it is, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, Player Ham. Like that. Thank my boy for coming in and guest hosting with me, man, for a second night. Your brother wasn't there. My boy AJ, man, from the Connected Experience podcast that drops every Monday on the Digital Soapbox Network. Y'all make sure, man, y'all go subscribe, man. These brothers got one of the coldest podcasts in the game, man. Y'all been running one of the flagship shows on Digital Soapbox, Antoine, right?
Yeah, we still here, baby. We the last of the Mohegans. It wasn't even no Gangsta Chronicles when we started doing business together. It was not, I remember you told us the Gangsta Chronicles and broke it down. And we was like, yo, that's it right there. But yeah, we still here, man. And ain't nothing gonna change, man. The Connected Experience every Monday. You press play on that, man. We just take you to a different world. We had everybody on it. Anybody you could think of, because we can sit and talk to anybody. Oprah gonna be on one day, because we can sit and talk to anybody from an artist who just started with their first song to CEOs of major companies, man. The Connected Experience TCE Pod on Instagram and Twitter.
And I'll make sure I got a link for that. I'll make sure I got a link for that in the description for y'all. And we gonna have Ham's podcast coming pretty soon. I'm gonna be posting links up for
him. Man, so, we push it, man. Let's do this.
For sure. And we out of here, y'all. Peace.
Peace. One love.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.